number 89 today. If you please find that psalm in your Bibles. I told our Sunday school class this morning, so I'll tell the church. Sometimes I announce my text, and I look around, and I don't see any Bibles. I don't see anybody interested in reading or checking what I'm reading. But I should see that. This is God's house. We're here to worship. We're going to read His Word. Let's read it together. If you don't read it in church, I doubt very seriously you read it at home. Selah. You need to fall in the Word of God. This is a worship service, and part of the worship is listening as God speaks to us through His Word. Psalm 89, verse number 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. There's a song the kids used to sing, taken from these two verses. I used to love them, hear them sing that, and it's a beautiful song, joyful song. Verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. Build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah in the original language. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who's a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Pay particular attention to verse 15, if you would. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Father, give us the words and the thoughts, and above all, give the congregation the attention to your word, that we might worship truly through the word of God and through the message that's here. As the writer of the psalm has drawn attention to all these things about you, may it humble us and cause us to be thankful and to realize what the first verse tells us, and especially this verse number 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So, Father, we just ask your blessing upon the church and upon this service. May Christ be glorified. May you be honored and loved and obeyed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we notice in the reading of this psalm, I made note of this carefully as I began to study it. In verse number 1, we see I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Now that tells me that this person has been saved. We all have to die. That's part of this physical realm that we live in, but there's more than just this life. When a man can say, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, it simply means he's going to live on forever and ever. And while he sings here on earth, he's going to continue that in the presence of the Lord at a later time. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Notice the word faithfulness in verse number 1. I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Beloved, we live in a time when I fear, this is just my assessment, that very few know the faithfulness of the Lord. In spite of all that we see in the physical realm, the sun rises every morning, sets every night, the stars come out, the moon changes phases, the seasons change. All of that is because of the faithfulness of God. The psalmist says, I'll sing of that. It makes me happy. It humbles me. It makes me rejoice. And I want to sing about it. And then in verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. All the stars and the planets in perfect harmony according to the purpose of God. He keeps them there because he's faithful. And he has the power to do that. We don't understand that. We don't have to. But we can observe it. And we can be thankful for it. So faithfulness mentioned in the first two verses. But notice further in verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Now we're going to bring it down to us. God's faithfulness in the heaven, what does that mean to us? Well, it should mean a lot, but unfortunately we kind of live in a zone somewhere. Very rarely even appreciate what God's doing. We looked out yesterday morning and you know, it's years and years ago, Brother Gormley preached a message. I haven't forgotten it. That was many years ago. Hast thou considered the treasures of the snow? Oh, what a wonderful message it was. I rejoiced in it so much that I still remember it. See, that's what worship is all about. It's not about hearing a message, but hearing a message that years later it comes back to you. God told Job, have you considered the treasures of the snow? You notice yesterday morning, if you got as much snow as we did, it just covers everything. All the deadness, all the dirt. It's a picture of what we read about in Isaiah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Faithfulness mentioned again as it relates to this assembly this morning. Faithfulness should be a part of something we observe in God. We're still here. We've been able to come this morning. By God's grace and his faithfulness to us, he's kept us. We're gathered here in his name to praise him. And then he says again in verse number 8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Four times in these few verses. He's emphasizing the faithfulness of God, and he tells us, particularly in the last one we read in verse 5, Thy faith must also in the congregation of the saints. One of the things, and we sing this sometimes, great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes Christelle sings it as a special. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. God is faithful. It should affect us to even consider that. But how much more should it affect the church? You know what God's faithfulness should produce in us? Our faithfulness. If God's faithful, should we not be faithful? Did he not save us to be like him? If he's faithful, then I should be faithful. Faithful to him, faithful to sing to him, faithful to praise him, faithful to pray, faithful to love him. But we wanted to deal particularly with verse number 15. After reading these statements about the faithfulness of God, he says in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I do believe that the only people that can really appreciate what I've just said about God's faithfulness and our desire to be faithful, our obligation really to be faithful to God, are those who understand this verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Do you know the joyful sound this morning? You say, well, what is it? Well, some of you know what it is. The joyful sound. He's mighty. His miracles have been manifest. His mercy is found in our life. But the word blessed means, and we find this in the book of Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, it means to be in a happy state or in a blessed state. It doesn't mean necessarily as relates to our physical being, because we can be persecuted, mocked, made fun of, and still be blessed. But the Bible declares, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That joyful sound I present to you this morning is the gospel of the grace of God, the good news that Christ died for sinners. That's a joyful sound. Are you blessed today? Do you know that? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Is that not joyful? I know it was to me and has been, not just when I was saved, but it's been joyful ever since. That's why I love to preach to people. I love to preach the gospel because it's such a joyful sound. Oh, hymn we sing many times, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. The joyful sound of the grace of God that came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ to save sinners. I believe those who've heard the sound understand verse 5. The heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. One of the reasons we want to go into the house of God, because we've heard the joyful sound. We want to hear it again. Oh, tell me his name again. I love the story behind that song. A missionary went into China, and he preached the gospel. And he left, and the people dispersed. But an older lady came back, and she made that request. Tell me his name again. Jesus. And those who know the joyful sound, they're not satisfied to just hear it one time. We want to hear it again. Much of the Bible and New Testament teaches us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know more about Him, to see His miracles and understand the depth of what He was doing when He performed those things, to know His works were the works of His Father. All that we can learn about Him, it excites us. So we, as the psalmist says, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord. That joyful sound, only those who have been saved can really declare it in the church. People come sometimes who aren't saved. I appreciate people being in the congregation. But I'll tell you, the ones that really take part in what goes on in the congregation are those who know what the Bible's talking about. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. The psalmist says, the faithfuls will be known in the congregation of the saints. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, this always staggers me when I read it. Verse 8, the third chapter of the Apostle Paul writing, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. What a measurement he had of himself. Chiefest of sinners, the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? The joyful sound. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know how many times that appears in the New Testament? The joyful noise was actually hidden as far as the full revelation. I don't mean people weren't saved. I mean they just didn't understand some things that the church has been given the privilege to understand. That's what Paul's talking about in verse 10, to the intent or for the purpose that now under the principality and powers in heavy places might be known by the church. By the church. The manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which you purposed in Christ Jesus. It's God's eternal purpose. That in and through the church, the mystery of the gospel, the wonder of the gospel, the fullness of the gospel should be preached to all men. And it's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where these things are being revealed. Things that were hidden from the foundation of the world. According to the eternal purpose which you purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something that God determined to do before He made the worlds. Notice as we read further in this chapter, verse 16, that it would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Notice how Paul states this. Is there any measurement left? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? God would have us to know this. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's faithfulness should be known in the church. In our message, in our stand, in our love for people, in our love to not only just know the joyful sound, but to spread this joyful sound. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. We know it because we've been saved by God's amazing grace. He's given us this sound, this joy within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he didn't just give it to us as a something aside. He gave it to us that we might enjoy it, that we might use it, that we might share it in the church. What is the charge to those who hear and know the joyful sound? Now, some hear it. Every time the gospel is preached, people hear it. But our verse is, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You can hear it without knowing it. The parable of the sower. Jesus used that to illustrate this very point. You can hear the gospel without knowing it. But when you know it, it's a part of your life. It's something that affects you day by day, year by year. But what is the charge made by the scriptures to those who know the joyful sound? We have many passages we could read, but I'll just choose a few of them. Matthew 28, verse 16. You'll turn and read this with me. You know, to know the joyful sound is a wonderful thing. It gives us peace, takes away our fear of death and the penalty of our sins, and gives us the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that someday we'll see him, we'll be like him. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We don't doubt that, do we? All power. I preached a few weeks ago on the first and second resurrection. He's going to call forth all the dead, and he's going to change all that live when he comes. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Have you heard the joyful sound? Well, here's the charge that he left with us. Go and teach all nations. What are we to teach? The joyful sound. Teach what changed us. Teach how that Christ came to us, bothered us about our sins, caused us to feel guilt and fear of the coming judgment. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When they hear and know the joyful sound, did they hear it? But something must accompany that. They must not just hear it, but they must know it. That means it affects the person. It affects us inwardly. It affects our minds and our hearts. And it affects our loves. And it affects us to the point that we love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We're not only to go and tell the joyful sound, let them know what the joyful sound is all about, but we're also, when they receive it, when they hear that joyful sound, then we're to teach them to observe all things. You know, we just have one lifetime, and it's such a big task. Any pastor that is honest with himself always feels inadequate. He feels insufficient for such a task, and he feels like he has failed in so many ways to really do this. But that's the charge. Teaching them to observe all things, not to just hear it, not to put it on a church covenant in the back, not put it in a bulletin, the things we believe, But beloved, we're to teach them to observe it. Whatsoever I've commanded you. What a responsibility and what a privilege. It brought great joy to me. Should I not want to share that with other people? And then he says, and lo, I'm with you. Always. Everywhere I go, every place I am, he's with me always, at all times and every situation. As I sing that song sometimes, he loves you when you're right, he loves you when you're wrong. He loves you when you're weak, he loves you when you're strong. He's always with us, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's his promise. I'm preaching on Wednesday nights. Had three messages so far on the promises of Christ and been well received by those who come. Unfortunately, we haven't had but about 8 or 9, which is a shame, really. But I'm thankful for everyone who comes. I'm not complaining. I just wish more would come. Because the promises of Christ is what our life is based upon. When we profess faith in him, our whole life is based on him. And his promise is what he said he would do. What a joyful sound. In verse number 4 of our text, back in verse of chapter 89, verse number 4, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. The seed of the Lord Jesus Christ are those of us who are saved. We've been begotten by God. We're his children. We're the brother of Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God. But we're the seed that God's speaking of here. The heaven shall praise thy wonders. And one of the wonders that we should praise is that God, in his infinite love and mercy and all of his majesty, condescended and came down to this earth that he might save us and give us the privilege to sound out this joyful sound. We sang a song years ago. I haven't sung it in a while. Jesus Saves. I don't mean the one that's in the hymn books, one we sang in our choir, but he still does. Jesus saves. He still does. Wonderful words in that song. But we sing that with joy because that's part of the joyful sound. Jesus saves. I'll never forget something told by Spurgeon, this great Baptist preacher in England, and he went into the new building that we're building for him because the crowds were so immense they couldn't contain it in the building where he was preaching. And he went in to test the acoustics, and he just cried out, Jesus saves! Way up in the top, he didn't know he was up there. There's an old painter finishing up the ceiling. And he heard that, and it convicted him. And he sought out Spurgeon to know what that meant. Beloved, the power of the gospel, we've underestimated it. I know you get discouraged because people won't listen to you. I know you get disheartened when they don't want to hear it anymore. But, beloved, it's a joyful sound. It's not something that should make us depressed or discouraged. It's something that should make us joyful. The joyful sound of the gospel of the grace of God. We're blessed when we know it, and we're more blessed when we share it. We could read also in Acts, I'm going to do this, Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, concerning our responsibility. If you know the joyful sound, and you really know it, I'll tell you, it gets hold of you. Many a time I've sit in church. I wasn't preaching. Someone else was preaching. But come to the point to where I just couldn't hold back the tears and the joy, the peace that God brought to me. Because of the joyful sound. And yet we come to church and we sit like a wart on a pickle. It's not a very good illustration, but we sit like we've lost our last friend. And yet we've got the joyful sound if we're saved. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to his apostles, just read this with me if you would. Verse 7, when they asked, when all these things are going to come to pass, Acts 1, verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Seeing, in effect, that's none of your business. Which the Father hath put in his own power. He said in another place, he didn't even know the hour. Only his Father knew. But read further. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth, even to here in Frankfort, Kentucky. Their testimony has come down through the ages to many, many, many people. And it always produces the same effect. It's a joyful sound. It's something you want to hear. As I said, not just once, but you can sit at times and hear it over and over and over again. You shall be witnesses unto me, the uttermost part of the earth. So that joyful sound does something to people. That gospel message, that invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Who can declare it? I believe more than anyone else. Now, I know there are individuals saved that can do that, but we read to you Ephesians 3, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. It's the church that Jesus is talking to here, his 12 apostles, actually 11, because Judas had hanged himself. But beloved, he gave that commission to the church. He gave that joy, that responsibility, that privilege to those men who gave it to others, and down through the ages of time, it's been passed along to us, and it's still joyful. Christ died nearly 2,000 years ago, and his death is still having an effect. And it will until the end. If you don't know the joyful sound this morning, I'd urge you to listen a little more carefully. Don't just hear it. Know it. Experience what it's all about. Let God speak to your heart. Let him take control of you and lead you into everlasting life. Do the simple act of preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. The staggering. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's still true, and it will be. Do you know the joyful sound? I know you've heard it. But I would that you knew it, that it did something for you. Because that would bring glory to God. Joy to your heart. Joy to the church. Joy to your family. And it would be an everlasting effect. As I said, you want to hear it again. Don't you remember when you were saved? Did you rejoice the fact that God was so kind to you that he brought that message and stirred you up and gave you the faith to make it yours? to receive him, to accept it in your heart and mind. That's our message. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. We praise you for our Savior, all that he means to us. I pray your blessing upon this message, that it might affect us, not now only, but in days to come, that we might remember, might rejoice, might sing, as the psalmist said, and share it with others. That we might grow and glow for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.